Okay, are you ready? It's Sunday morning. It's Call to Victory. So this is very unfortunate if this is your first time here, because it's kind of like this is like a movie, and we're in the last 1/10 of the movie. So this is like a bit of a, it's too late for spoiler alert, because we've had 9 sessions so far, and this is week 10. But I'm going to rewind the whole movie and play just the best parts of the last 9 weeks. Should I do that? That's only fair if someone's new. I mean, you wouldn't like to be in the movie and no one's catching you up, right? So here we go. We started a whole lot of weeks ago with why it's important to come to this victory series. We said we want to lay a solid foundation. If you don't have a solid foundation, you're going to fall, right? Is that true? Yeah, like if you build your house on the sand, when the floods comes, it's not cool. We said that this was an experience to discover freedom so we can walk free, not with chains around us. You don't want to be dragging like an elephant behind you if you're chained to an elephant. You want to be chained to a mongoose, because then you can just like move around, because mongoose aren't very heavy. That's didn't realize what a mongoose was. It's a lot lighter than an elephant. Unless it's got elephantitis, then you need to take it to a vet. Just saying, but that's for another Sunday morning. We won't go there now. It's also important to look at victory to become fruitful so that we can impact other lives. If I'm unhealthy, guess what? I'm going to cause unhealthiness all around me. We jumped into week 2 and we saw that transformation is possible, that people can change. You know, they always say, a leopard doesn't change, it spots. But there are 3 agents of change. Truth will change us. When we read the truth, when we're exposed to truth, I begin to change. If I've got wrong thinking and I find some better thinking, it's going to impact everything. The Spirit is able to change us. I don't know if any of you this morning, in maybe one of the most awesome Sunday morning worship experiences you could have anywhere on planet Earth, this side of eternity, experienced that moment where God just came and touched us in a new way. That Holy Spirit coming down, God in person, touching lives, will bring transformation and then renewing the mind. If I'm thinking wrong, if I think this is just a bad day and everything's falling down and I'm Eeyore in that little stick house that he always used to build, and oh no, it's just going to fall down again and this is really horrible and I'm a nobody and this is useless, then you will be a useless nobody. And if you want to carry on being that, that's cool, but we'd suggest change the mind, renew the mind. I guess in worship, a big emphasis this morning was on the cross as well, right? In that song, at one point, and we saw that the cross is significant because 3 things happened on the cross. Firstly, suffering took place, and that Jesus suffered so that I don't have to suffer, okay? So he experienced suffering. He was actually paying for all the sins of humankind. He took the punishment that was ours. Secondly, he stood in the gap as our substitute. I mean, there were substitutions in the rugby last night, right? Because it was a hectic game, and to play against Samoa is probably, like, hectic. Well done to those of you wearing a Springbok jersey, okay? Anyone else? No, just, yeah. And so substitution, it's really great. Fresh legs come on. But this was deep and rich because Jesus died in my place so that I don't have to die to pay for my sins. Some religions believe that you need to pay your sins yourself, you need to do stuff, you need to cut yourself, or you need to like do certain rituals and stuff. And in the Christian faith, it's looking to Jesus, who was our substitute, so that we don't have to experience it. And on that cross came salvation. So when I look at the cross, the salvation that Jesus secured for me is mine. And so I can be saved and become a child of God. Because of this, because of what the cross has done, we can have a whole brand new identity. We spoke a lot about who we are in Christ, that I am a new creation in Christ. We saw 3 things in one Bible verse. I was going to give 1,000 rand to anyone who can remember the Bible verse that puts these 3 things together. But I thought with Sean in the back, that's a little bit risky, and I might just be out of pocket money after financing Friday night's money giveaway. But we saw, and anyone thinking of this verse, but we saw that we are chosen. Christ chose us. We are chosen. So I'm like special, right? I'm special. I often look at my son, Drew, who's 10, and I think, we chose you, buddy. We didn't just, there wasn't just a natural birth thing. We walked into baby haven, we saw you, we chose you, and you will forever be part of our family. Okay? We even changed his surname. He was chosen. He can't be unchosen. Once my oldest son said to him, one day I'm going to adopt you, Drew. So this is my other oldest son saying to Drew that he's going to adopt him. And Drew said, you can't adopt. He coined a new noun for himself, adopt, I guess, you know? You can't adopt. Why? Because you've been adopted. You're in the family. You always will be. You have equal rights. You're going to share the debts, I mean the blessings, okay? You are chosen. Secondly, we saw that we are royal. Well, hold on now. That means like I'm royal. You know, forget the royal kingdom in KwaZulu-Natal. I'm royalty. We are royal. And thirdly, we saw that we are holy. We're a holy nation, you know. We are called to be unique and special. God sees us as perfect and holy. And that verse was, first, I would have given 1,000 rand. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. We are a holy nation, royal priesthood. We are chosen people. It's like huge. Awesomeness. Give the lady 1,000. I heard a song about a week ago, which I kind of thought was a new song, but I think I was snoozing about a year ago, because when I went looking for it, I realized it wasn't a new release. So forgive me if this is a last year song. It's so last year, I guess. But it to me captures who we are, that we are indestructible. So cool, right? So what line from that stood out for you? Anyone? Indestructible, okay. Bulletproof. Anything else? Or are you distracted by the six-pack? Dance? Hurricanes. Walk through the fire? And even when stuff falls around, I'm going to be victorious. You see, we are meant to live in victory. We are meant to, right? We are meant to. Then we said, okay, so let's deal with stuff. And we've had 5 weeks of dealing with hectic stuff. 5 different speakers. I think there was 5 different. And we started with generational curses, which was hectic. We looked at how passed down through generations are things like financial lack or mental illness or incurable disease or maybe problems with pregnancy down through the years, or just disunity in the home. If I look back in my family tree, and it's just like, this has always been part of us. We've always lived in poverty, and so we're always going to live in poverty. No, let's stop this baby. And we learned this process of deliverance known as 5 R's. We recognize. So if there is an issue in our lives, we identify it, we name it, we say, this is it, this is the problem. Secondly, we repent and we turn our back on it. We say, like, you and I, we're not together anymore. Like, I'm breaking up with you thing. You know what I mean? You can carry on being poverty somewhere else, but you and I, you're not even in the friend zone. You unfriended. You are defriended. I'm not just unfollowing you. I am blocking you. Don't block me. I'm going to report you even as abusive, and I don't want anything more to do with you. In fact, I might just shoot you in the face in love. No, in hate, because I'm done with you, okay? And we stop it right there. We don't like, well, I might want to like visit on weekends, but in the week I'm not going to be part of like your poverty trek or whatever it is. And we move away and we say, God, destroy it totally. We renounce it. We break any agreement. Yeah, I know I clicked on that button and I shouldn't have to make a friend with you, but I'm now renouncing that and you have no power over me. We then rebuke it. We say that behind this is the evil one, and the evil one, you're out of here. I'm done with you. And as much authority as I have as a child of God, I am using that to say no more, go and don't ever come back. And finally, we receive blessings, sorry to jump on your blessing, but we receive the opposite of whatever that curse has brought. So if there's financial lack, we're going to bring prosperity into our lives. If there was barrenness, we're going to pray for fruitfulness. And you've heard testimonies, right, where that actually happens, where people had barrenness, and through prayer, voila, suddenly they have 6 children at a time. And then after the third, they got 18 children, and they decide that that's enough, because 18 is enough in most families. But you go from a lack, you go to bountiful. No, I don't think 18 children is wise for all of you. But we want to suggest that any time you're facing an issue, then remember those. And that's why Jesse doesn't just want us to connect with him on Facebook. He wants us to know that at our Facebook site, you will find this stuff and be able to pray through it on your own. We then jumped with Tabila, I think it was, into relational issues. And we saw how that there can be things that happen that are things like grudges, bitterness, anger, jealousy, gossip, and even isolation, where we pull ourselves away from friendships and relationships. And these are destructive relational habits. These are going to bring us down. These are going to destroy us. And rather, we need to have these, and there's many more, I'm sure, but some relational or healthy habits like forgiving, apologize, and finally, forgetting, choosing to forget, to put it behind and not hold the person accountable for that anymore. So improving and growing in the area of relationships. The toughest week, I have no doubt to present, was done very ably by Mario, and who knocked this one out the park. He taught us about some hectic isms and cults and the occult and idols and covenants and different religions. And it was like an eye-opener to realize that there's a lot of things that can be presented to us as alternates, things that we can be a part of, but ultimately they're destructive and they're going to destroy us. We even realize that idols can be more than just bowing down to a golden calf. So we said rather than getting into spiritual error, we need to make sure that to guard against it, we're reading our Bible, we're getting to know Jesus, we're exposing error. So if I'm reading about stuff to understand it, I can then expose it. We're listening to leaders who have wisdom and input for our lives. And we live by a whole new standard of love, of loving God, loving ourselves, loving our neighbor. And voila, spiritual error can be avoided. We had an interesting week where the girls were here and the guys were next door with 2 different speakers just 2 weeks ago with Pastor Caroline and also Loreco next door. And we dealt with some pretty stuff because we're vulnerable because we crave love. We have these passions in us. There's pressure from our friends. Loneliness maybe will get us into doing things that's not great. Media is always bombarding us, and our own evil desires that were in us from before and from the fall of man are lurking. They don't need to control us because we've learned that we live in a sexual minefield, but we, by God's grace, can live holy lives. We can keep our way pure by living according to God's word, says Psalm 119. Last week, Genevieve led us in a challenging time of looking at a vast array of addictions in our lives, and we began to realize that, whoa, maybe I'm addicted in this area or that area. And we had a look at what an addiction is, and she taught us that it's bondage, so we can't break free, and it's like a slavery. If you want to be a slave, cool, you know, then stay with your addiction. But freedom is necessary and possible. Addictions can be broken. You taught us 4 areas at least through the grace of God coming down. Not only is God's grace about coming to be a follower of Jesus, but it's to sustain us and to keep us going. If we confess, that's a key thing. Confessing to someone else as well and having an accountability is half the battle. Surrender to God. Surrender so that God can live and work through us. And finally, an infilling of the Holy Spirit where God can come and say, "Wow, my power's on you, stuff is broken, you are going to be walking in freedom." So that brings us, was that a fair rewind? Do you think I did a fair and accurate reminder? Does it make a bit of sense? Bit hectic, a lot in there, but that was the last 9 weeks. So what is living in victory going to look like going forward? Well, let me ask the question first. How do soldiers secure victory? I know that we were very careful as we took ground from Southwest Africa into Angola to make sure we could secure the ground we were taking. It's very dangerous to get too far in and get too excited in your advance and attack, and you can leave your rear. People can outflank you, and next minute you cut off from your supply lines and you fried. You encircled, and you got to shoot your way. If you've ever had to shoot your way out of imminent death, you know that it's quite traumatic and quite, it like makes your heart beat a whole lot. And then the doc says, please take a pill. Here's a little white pill because your blood pressure is too high. And you're like, doctor, I don't need that. Just give me another 50 rounds of ammunition and I'll shoot my way out of here. You don't want to be cut off, do you? You want to have a supply line. So when soldiers operate in a war, they make sure they protect the supply line. The injured have to get back. You need to receive stuff. You need to receive supplies and ammunition. You can only carry so much. Secondly, you need to protect that occupied territory. You need to make sure that you station people around. You need someone with a heat-seeking missile, because when that MiG-29, that Russian fighter jet, is swooping down low and you watch it dropping napalm behind it. I don't know if you've ever had napalm dropped within 100 meters of you. It hits the ground and it starts tumbling and rolling until you are running at the speed of light to try and get away from napalm, which will burn you. Every inch of your skin will be burned off, which is not good for the complexion. You may not like your face, but you need skin. Just saying, okay? And when that happens, you want to make sure that you're calling in your Mirage fighter jets. You need to make sure that your anti-aircraft weapons know where you are. They get your GPS coordinates, and they are shooting that sucker down. Otherwise, you're dead. I'm only here because someone was protecting our backs and shooting MiG-29s out of the sky. Sorry about that pilot, but he was kind of being rather aggressive with his bomb that he was dropping on us. So suck to be him. Thirdly, you're going to protect the weary troops. When I'm too tired, when I've seen too much stuff, when I'm tired of holding friends in my arms who are dying and bleeding out, I need time away from the battlefield. I need to be taken back, and believe it or not, I need a T-bone steak and a Coke. I kid you not. That's what our officers would give us. They would pull us back from the front line and they would say, here's a pack of cigarettes, here's a giant T-bone steak and a Coke. Next week, you're going back. And I want to tell you something that it kind of helped. I don't know what it is. I think it's a magic T-bone steak. Oh, who doesn't like a T-bone steak? But the troops need to be refreshed. They need to get back. They need to make contact with themselves, with each other, maybe play some volleyball. And then you back up for some more mayhem. Makes sense, right? So what does living in victory for you look like? What does it mean? It's a real war that you're in. It may not feel like it because you're not being shot at. You don't have like bullets whistling over your head, rocket-propelled grenades going whack above your head as it passes over you. But you're in a battle. And if you could see it from a spiritual point of view, you would realize that the war stuff I sometimes speak about is actually what you're involved in. And if that is the case, how do you live in victory? Well, let's take it back into that New Testament before we finally apply it to ourselves. Those early disciples were with Jesus. To stay in victory, it takes being with Jesus. After they found out that Peter and John had no education or special training, these were two of the first disciples to follow Jesus, they were surprised to see how boldly they spoke. They realized that these men had been with Jesus. That's all. The fact that they were close to Jesus made them speak differently, okay? So being with Jesus is the first secret to you staying in victory. If you're not close to Jesus, guess what? You're fair game for the devil. If you're out on your own and you have no connection with Jesus, then you, that little lame little impala that's running around with a gammy leg, grabbing its leg, and the lion's just like, we've got this, baby. Today, we're having impala steaks. That baby is going down because there's no ways the parents are going to protect it from us. But when the troop comes, or the herd, puts that baby right in the middle and runs off together, that creature is saved from imminent death. Spending time with Jesus is the first key to living in victory. Secondly, becoming like Jesus. When I increasingly become like Jesus, there's a amazing scripture that says we have been changed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. That's a real photo taken of a guy who was becoming like. You can see how he's starting to look more and more like Jesus looked, right? We've been changed into his likeness. We're looking more and more. We're acting more and more like Jesus. We're reading the New Testament. We're saying, I want to be like Jesus. You know, not like, oh, I can't do that because I'm not Jesus. No, Jesus said, I would do great things. Jesus said, I need to become like him. We have been changed into his image with ever-increasing glory. Am I more like Jesus this week than I was last? That's a good question. So victory comes from imitating Jesus, looking at what Jesus did, what he would have done. Thirdly, it's about behaving like Jesus. Okay? So as I'm imitating him, obviously my behavior is going to change. And so Jesus comes walking on water, and one day Peter decides he's going to walk on water too. And Jesus said, those who believe in me will do the things that I'm doing. They will do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. I'm going to send the Spirit down. I'm going to intercede up there. I'm going to be sitting on a throne, and I'm going to give you the power that you need to live right. So victory comes from acting like Jesus. When I'm out there acting like Jesus, I'm probably going to have less time to do like the devil stuff. You know, if the devil calls and said, I want you to work for me this week. Devil, what part of I don't work for you anymore do you not understand? I quit my job with you. You remember? I used to work with you. I used to be your right-hand man. I used to be your guy, your go-to guy, but I don't work for you anymore. I'm done. And he's like, yeah, but just come. No, I don't. I'm no casual labor. I don't do that. I'm with the union now, the Jesus union. You know what I mean? Speak to the union. You know? I don't work for you anymore. Because he'll call. He'll come knocking. And like, ah, just one more job. Just one more heist. Just one more bank. It's like, no, I don't do banks anymore. I'm not robbing. No, not one. No, not even half. No, I'm not even driving the getaway car. I work for Jesus. We kind of, well, what do? No, we destroy bank robbers. Oh, thung, and you just hear the phone go down, and the devil doesn't call you for a long time. For a long time. He's like, woo, that guy, he's gonna blow the whistle on me. So how do I actually live in victory? Finally, here's what it means at youth. Don't deny yourself the privilege of being exposed to what we do at youth, you know? We're not saying that his youth is the place where everything's solved and everything's perfect and what, but if you're here, it makes a huge difference. Like the early disciples who committed themselves to the apostles' teaching, the life together, the common meal, and prayer. Yeah, and that's why we do common meals at youth on a Friday night sometimes. So attend youth events. Come on Friday nights to I Engage Friday. Find yourself in preaching to the choir. Come on Sunday morning. You'll be tempted when the going's tough to not come. That's when you need to come. You know what I mean? Don't make me come fetch you, because I will. I'll jump in the car. I'll come fetch you. I'll drag you out of bed, bring you out in your jammies and slippers. I'll do that, because Kenan's going to help me do that. He promised. You're going to help me do it. Okay, next Sunday. Oh, no, we're downstairs next Sunday, so we won't know if you're not here. Yes, we will know. And then put your hand up. Become a leader. Become someone who serves. Let us recognize you and become part of what's actually happening and be equipped for ministry. And secondly, resist the devil. He's going to come knocking because he's got a bad memory. He forgets what happened last month when you told him off. So the Bible says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist him. And use the recognize, repent, renounce, rebuke, receive little process there. Pray that through whenever there's an issue. And say, I'm going to recognize this thing. I'm turning my back. I'm repenting on that sucker. I'm not with that thing anymore. And I'm going to finally receive the blessing of God. And then find a spiritual teacher. okay? Seeing the crowds, he went up the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and taught them. So Jesus had like this small group around him. And I don't know if you're here on a Friday night, you're in a small group, you know? And we go really deep at the end of giving away a lot of money. And it's a great opportunity. You need to find someone who's ahead of you on the journey and let them help you and lead you and guide you. If they tell you to give you 1,000 rand so they can buy a tuck shop, you say, I don't think that's right. So you're not this like, beady, 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 like this clone, whatever you want me to do, you know? I want you to go murder Pastor Mark. That's a good time to say no, because probably you won't be successful. I'm just saying, I'll take you out if you come in to do that. I will. I will. I didn't work out so long in a gym to get this huge physique. You saw me in the video earlier. Asher made that video of me. I painted that stuff, the Maori stuff on my face. That was me. You didn't notice that. I thought the makeup was really, really good. Find someone who's a step ahead of you. And you know, I remember trying to learn to play guitar. And what I'd do is I'd look for someone who was just a bit better than me. And I'd say, like, Adam, show me how to do that chord sequence. Like, how do you play G major 7th just so easily? Because your fingers span 4 frets. And he said, yeah, do these exercises with your fingers and really stretch it out. And then I got it. And I said, what else can you do? And he said, I do this unique double thing. And I said, okay, show me how you do it. And then I just shot him because I'm finished with him. I don't need help anymore. I'm better than Dominic now. And then I went across and, you know, there's like Andre. And I'm like, dude, how do you do those bar chord things? Like, I mean, that, like, whoa, you are using a double finger to get the real strength. And then you just double up on those two. Like, I got it, okay? And that open string thing. And eventually, I just went from person to person in the church and even outside. I even found my sister's boyfriends, had them teach me how to play guitar. Eventually, I was better than all of them put together, and I was an absolute wizard. I'm a bit rusty now and more humble now. But it's about finding someone else who knows something, not being so proud, like, I can't learn from you, you know? Learn from someone else. Find out what it is that you need to know. Find someone who can help you. And I don't even care if the person's younger, you know, or really ancient, even an ancient person. Okay, you're going to deal with the false teeth and all that. But even they can help you something. They might spit on you a bit when they're giving you the wisdom, but it's cool. Find the help you need from people who have been on the journey a bit longer. Are you up for this living in victory thing? Because I don't know about you, but like, I'm really keen to do living in victory. Like, I'm a little bit tired. You know what I mean? It's like, no. That other thing that doesn't work, that up and down, and oh, man, it's just like so frustrating, going around in circles. No, let's power through some secrets to living in victory. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that it is your desire for us to live in victory. You want us to be victorious. We're not talking about winning some football match here or prayers to do that or some rugby match, Lord. But we are here to live lives that are right before you, lives that achieve something. We want to become something. We want to set down a new future. Maybe for our whole family line, we want to do something new and unique. But we want to find ourselves living holy lives, having done with lesser things and pushing on to greater things. And we know that you want to do that for us. And right now we say, Lord, would you come and fill us afresh with a new vision of what we can be, of how you want us to live in victory. And may we become like Jesus. May we think like Jesus and act like Jesus. And may we transform the world around us for the sake of his kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're probably wondering what we're doing next term, and I've got a bit of a teaser to show you. It's the first trailer to be released on... It's not on YouTube yet because YouTube is like so old school, so yesterday. But it's huge. It's coming. Here it is. This moment is fast approaching. It is coming. It is coming soon. Within the next month, you will be taken on a journey of an absolute lifetime. You will see trumpets and bowls and beasts and all sorts of amazing things, and you will come away with an awareness of, hey, we got this thing. We got this. We've seen the end of the book. We've seen the last, and we are triumphant. You want to be part of that? You know where to be next term. We're going to be downstairs, and I think it's just for the next two Sundays, two or three. That moment, the government schools are crying, the government people, you know, the more regular scholars, when they like weeping, you know it's that Sunday. When you hear wailing and gnashing of teeth, you know that we're ready that Sunday to do youth again, that Friday and Sunday, because, like, that's why they say it. And when you see the private school people happy, when the government schools are going back, then you know it's that week that we're starting up again. May you have a great break. We're still up for Friday night, and God bless.